Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And I welcome you. You can watch today's show by going to Ustream channel and then search for Gary Null. You can listen to this program live or from the archives anywhere in Canada and North America just by calling a number, 619-550-0869. And it's been beneficial because recently we had a 66-day dropout of our signal on PFW, our sister station in Washington, D.C., where we went from 50,000 watts to about under 2,000 watts, which means we lost over 95% of our signal, and hence our audience. But those who had the number called and didn't miss anything. Same with Tron BAI this past week, our sister station, where an engineer got in late, and we were 27 minutes, at least people listening over WBAI. Then they called in 619-550-0869, and they missed nothing. Today, this is our talkback segment. No guest, but your opportunity to call in and share your thoughts, your comments, your points of view, your questions. And I'll be taking calls throughout the program. That number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, I'm going to give some very specific protocols to help men who want to prevent prostate enlargement or who have prostate cancer and want to save their lives. If you want to help viral-proof your body for the winter, I'm going to give you some suggestions on it as well. I was asked today while walking to the store to get a juice, why don't I ever talk about dandelion greens? Well, I'm going to give you a reason why you should be using dandelion greens, and also some new things to do with kale. I'm also going to talk about some brand new information that you have not heard about out of Japan, what happens when they actually studied vaccines on the body, made it into no news media whatsoever in the United States. I'll share that with you. And what the cancer industry does not want you to know about chemotherapy and radiation from Prevent Disease, David Malavik. Also, I'm going to share my own original commentary that I prepared today, along with Kevin Zies and Dr. Margaret Flowers on Obamacare. Quite simply, I will say that this is the biggest healthcare insurance scam in history. And even Tom Hartman and others, they're making this a left-right Republican-Democrat issue. It is not. I'll explain why. Also, from the environmental segment, thawing permafrost. The speed of coastal erosion in eastern Siberia has doubled. What does that mean for us? And from Naomi Klein, a commentary from the New Statesman on how science is telling us all revolt. Is our relentless quest for economic growth killing the planet? Climate scientists have seen the data, and they are coming to some incendiary conclusions. Naomi Klein on that. Justice from Tomatoes, Naomi Wolf from Project Syndicate. As you see, we have a lot of issues, all of them dealing with our well-being. Let's begin. First up, as we approach a change in weather, some things start to happen. Depends upon your age. More often than not, your body needs time to adapt, especially from warmer to colder weather. One way you can help that is making sure that you get vitamin D each day. Easy in the summer, not so easy in the fall and winter. That's why I'm suggesting 1 to 5,000 units a day of vitamin D3. And also hydrate. Most people don't realize they're dehydrated. For example, when you perspire profusely, you generally are going to require 2 quarts of water to rehydrate. If you run a marathon, you've lost over a gallon or 9 pounds of water. It'll take you about 3 days to rehydrate because the body will not hold all the water you take in at any given time. It only allows a certain percentage to be maintained for hydration. But what about the amount that you sweat each day when you're wearing shoes. Now, it depends upon the shoe, whether or not it breathes, and the amount of sweat glands that you have, but you could easily lose 2 quarts of water a day just through foot perspiration. It's called insensible perspiration. So we've got to start drinking more liquids, and it wouldn't hurt if you had an impedance test. It's an inexpensive, easy test to do. It's non-invasive, and it tells you your percentage of liquid. It should be around 72%. Because when you start dehydrating, the first thing that will happen is you'll become fatigued. Second is that you'll develop constipation. Third is you'll start developing more acute pain where you have it. So if you're dehydrated and you have joint pain, it'll be more painful in your joints. It also will keep you from having a good night's sleep and cause insomnia. So get hydrated properly. But cola and coffee are not hydration elements because they actually dehydrate. Why? Because they're diuretic. They cause liquid to go out of the body. So that's one thing you can do. Just simple, that's as simple as can be, hydrate. Now, not all hydration is equal. One of the best hydrations you can have is where you take watermelon juice, from fresh watermelon, of course, and lemon. I would use the juice of 2 lemons, watermelon, and then put in a tiny amount of, about a teaspoon of Manuka honey, anywhere from a 5 to a 20 grade. That Manuka honey is the most miracle-based honey in the world because it really is phenomenal, and it helps kill bacteria and viruses in your throat and stimulates a healthy immune response. 2 other things you can do, and this has actually been tested to winterproof your body. 2 simple nutrients. One is called L-cysteine, cys, C-Y-S, teen, T-I-N-E. I'm going to suggest 1,000 milligrams, 500 in the morning, 500 in the afternoon. And theanine, L-theanine, thea, T-H-E-anine, A-N-I-N-E. I'm going to suggest 300 milligrams. Now, these are simple, inexpensive things you can do. I would also add in 400 milligrams of green tea, decaffeinated, 200 in the morning, 200 in the afternoon. Taking vitamin C, a minimum of 5 times a day. After you exercise, always, because it traps the free radicals you've created by the exercise itself. Then, after lunch, in the middle afternoon, after dinner, and before you go to bed at night. And the most important vitamin C you take is before you go to bed at night. I would also always take vitamin E, 400 to 800 units of mixed tocopherols, and alpha-lipoic acid, again, before you go to bed. Why? Because most people are not aware that an awful lot of strokes happen during the night, and that will help prevent the stroke because it thins the blood, strengthens the heart, protects your epithelium, your lining of your arteries. That is always important. Now, so that shows you how inexpensively you can help winterproof your body. Then what we can do to help if we have metabolic syndrome, protect against it, or if you have it, overcome it. Now, metabolic syndrome is a syndrome. It's a series of conditions, diabetes, for example, heart disease, obesity. These are all part of it. Well, according to the newest research from the University of Maine, published in the peer-reviewed journal Applied Physiology, Nutrition, and Metabolism, blueberries can help protect against this. That means that blueberries can help protect against the risk of heart disease and diabetes. And that's important because they found, quote, the metabolic syndrome is a group of risk factors characterized by obesity, hypertension, inflammation, and glucose intolerance and insulin resistance. And they found that the blueberries are good for thinning the blood and also good for helping keep your arteries strong and therefore lessening your likelihood of having a heart attack. For Justin, who asked me about dandelion, today on the street, on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, It's kind of fun walking from our office, where we have our broadcast studios here at 83rd and Broadway, up to the health food store, which I do every day because I get my juices, and I drink a lot of juices. I meet people on the street. And the Upper West Side is a very friendly neighborhood. And I'm always getting asked questions. This is about what many people consider a pesky little green that grows in their lawn. And they generally go out and kill it or pull it. Dandelion. You shouldn't. Dandelion is a power-packed, nutrient-rich green. And according to the latest research from University of Windsor and a biochemist-oncologist, Dr. Caroline Hem, found that the few cancer patients who have been drinking dandelion root tea got better. So, of course, there's need for more research, but dandelion root tea extract is known to be useful against cancer. And the two scientists working on this were amazed to find the leukemia cells were forced into what is called apoptosis, P-T-O-S-I-S, apoptosis, or what is better known as program cell death. In other words, your cancer cell commits suicide, but it doesn't damage healthy cells. Now, further testing showed similar results with other types of cancer cells, and mice showed no side effects from the dandelion root extract. So then they did more research. So this is good. But I would say that they have to go beyond that. Yes, the dandelion root is important, but the dandelions themselves can be juiced. And historically, in folk medicine, dandelions that are juiced along with, you add in bee pollen, aloe vera, apple cider vinegar, manuka honey, and bee propolis, you have a very powerful anti-cancer property. Now today I would add in curcumin in green tea and broccoli extract in indole-3-carbinol, and then you really have a powerful anti-cancer agent. I remember when I first interviewed Professor Bruce Lipton. It was in the late 80s. And Professor Lipton's in several of my self-empowerment documentaries. He's a brilliant man, and he's a very thoughtful man. And he was the one who coined the notion of epigenetics. Epi, E-P-I, genetics, and or what is called the epigenome, which means that you're impacted by the environment and everyone in it at all times. But even when you're not conscious of it, when you're not intellectually capable of understanding it, you're still influenced. And sometimes later in life, we act out in ways that seem completely inappropriate. Why is this person saying this or doing this? Because there's nothing in the immediate context that should justify that. Well, maybe it's not in this immediate context that that person created all these memories with energy that caused them to react. And that's why understanding regressive hypnosis as a tool to go back and change the epigenetic energy and message, which is doable, by the way. No one ever talks about that being possible. I know it's possible. We've done it. And I'll talk about changing your epigenetic energy on an upcoming program. In any case, we were having this discussion, and I asked the basic question. I said, do you believe it's possible to have a truth that is universal, that can be restricted to only one use? And he said, no. I said, I would agree with that. Now, what does that mean? It means that if, for example, homeopathy, like cures like, so if you got a burn and you had blisters and oozing on your hand from the burn, you might use a homeopathic dilution of poison ivy. Because if you touched poison ivy, you would end up with the same symptoms as a burn. So therefore, like cures like. But I said also they can't be limited because the energy of the universe is not limited. All things interact, and therefore all energies interact. And therefore, one of the reasons we feel better being at the ocean, in the mountains, by a valley, being close to nature, connecting with trees and breezes and leaves, and the smell of water coming down a stream, all of these is an interconnection of the epigenetic energy being exchanged. It's just a very positive energy. And he agreed with that. Now, where do we go with this? Which is one of the reasons why, by the way, when I do retreats, I try to find gloriously beautiful natural environments to do it in. And we screen people, you know, because not everyone is ready to change. And if you have negative, angry, hostile, bitter, accusatory people, self-righteous people, and who almost have an armor of anger on them, and somehow they feel justified in being angry, that is an epigenetic energy you don't want to be around. And you have a right. You have a right not to be around negative people, and we don't think we do, because everywhere we go, we're told, well, in the workplace, where, you know, whoever's there, that's it. You know, just live with it. Well, in your personal life, here's a question. Do you really think you can be healthy in an unhealthy environment? No, you can't. And yet every one of the, you know, pseudo-nonsense self-empowerment books that are out there want to make you believe that you don't really have to do anything, just think happy thoughts, and no matter where you're at, you'll be fine. Not true. Here's the latest example of this concept. This is from Taiwan's National Center University, and a major article published in a peer-reviewed journal, and here's what it says. Because I look at these and I think, ah, that connects something. Quote, genetics researchers at Taiwan's National Central University have determined that over a third of medicinal herbs used in traditional Chinese medicine and nearly all leading therapeutic herbs alter our genes or alter enzymes that alter our genetic material. The researchers analyzed 3,294 traditional herbs, combination of herbs, and found that over 36% will interact with enzymes that alter the histones that lie within our chromosome material. And of those that interact or modify those enzymes, 56% will promote what is called chromatin, a condensation. Now, for those of you who don't know basic science, of the gene, chromatin is a complex of DNA and protein material that our cell's nucleus is made of. And through the histone enzymes, chromatin will bind up and prepare for cell division, allowing a copy of our DNA to be made during mitosis, which is programmed, the cell programs itself to divide. And chromatin condensation occurs during the cell's reproductive cycle as cells divide. So what does this mean in lay language? I don't want to make it too confusing. What it means is this, that the memory of what an herb does that is specific to itself, but also synergistic when used in combination, can alter our chromosomes, actually alter the histones, organize the DNA during the chromatin condensation process. And that relates directly to repairing DNA. And so 99% of approved herbs alter genes in a positive way. If you took the 200 most popular herbs, like ginseng, the most commonly used herb, and then dong quai and fo tai, they all are positive in how they impact the DNA. And that gets to the universal truth that if something has the power to heal, why should we assume that it's limited in only healing in one area under one specific set of circumstances? And hence the whole concept of epigenetics taking another step forward. So the food we eat will impact our epigenetics, the thoughts we think will impact them, the environment which we live, the thoughts of other people in that environment, the energy we exchange for with people, the energy we exchange with animals or creatures, all of that impacts our DNA. And yet, None of that was thought to impact our DNA 20 years ago. Even today, you even have geneticists who are completely clueless on the concept of epigenetics and early life development and how much of what we're doing today, even programming ourselves for disease, is not something that they're even aware of. But we are, and I'll do more on this. This is just one more piece of solid scientific proof. And one other thing I've been suggesting to people in the audience who want to start their own home-based business or do homesteading projects, one of the most profitable things you could do, and certainly one of the most beneficial, is to grow sprouts and microgreens. Now, microgreens are tiny. They're just a little shoot and leaf of otherwise what you would find in 60 days to be full lettuces, for example, or some other green. And these go for $100 a pound downtown at the farmers markets. And sprouts can grow in 1 week. And they're also very expensive, anywhere from $50 to $100 a pound, depending upon where you buy them. Just imagine how easy it is to grow them. You can grow them in your own mini hydroponic in your own backyards, on your roof, in your house. You can do it with grow lights. And easy to do. And then go to the farmers markets. Go to restaurants. Here's one of the newest pieces of information from Margie King of Green Med Info on microgreens. Quote, more nutrition packed into baby lettuce. By the way, restaurants love microgreens because it's a very hip way, modern way, to colorfully garnish your meal, especially in the upscale restaurants. But it's definitely a superfood. And now we know from this new research from the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, done at the University of Maryland, that it has more nutrients. So, for example, you can get amaranth microgreens and quinoa microgreens, barley microgreens, alfalfa microgreens. Get all these, get 100 different microgreens. Red cabbage, which was the highest concentration of vitamin C. And so one way to get a lot of good nutrition and also make some money. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and nutrition. I'll be taking your calls in just a moment. As many of you are aware, I'm opposed to Obamacare. Not for any political reason. I could care less. I'm for universal health care because it would save us about $1 trillion a year. And I've gone through this in great detail. First, we're all starting with the assumption, Bill Maher and others, and others who have supported it or try to find some justification to support it because it's politically correct for people on the left to support it. But they haven't even looked at our existing medical system and say, do we have the best medical system? Is this the medical care people should be getting? If it's not, what do we need to do to turn it? Well, turn it around to save people's lives. What's the number one cause of death? Up to 700,000 Americans will die this year from their doctor who didn't have to. 10 to 15 million will be injured this year. You will have defensive medicine, which means that you will be over-tested, over-treated, over-medicated, because no one wants to be sued and then in deposition from a highly litigious society say, well, you mean you didn't take that test? So they just test you for everything. Well, a lot of these are invasive tests, and they're very expensive. And then a lot of the medications are completely not only worthless, but are actually dangerous. And then you could spend the night in the Waldorf Astoria cheaper with room service than you can in the worst hospital in New York City for a night with no medical care, just laying in a bed. So the whole system is corrupt, inefficient, and worthless, except for emergency medicine. So that's one reason I'm against it. It's a system that the more people that actually use it, the more people are going to be killed and injured. And then the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare, may be the biggest insurance scam in history. And that's not just me saying, it's also Kevin Reese and Dr. Margaret Flowers. The industries that profit from our current healthcare system wrote all the legislation, heavily influenced the regulations, and have received waivers exempting them from provisions in the law. And this has all been done to protect and enhance their profits. It has nothing to do with allowing people to get better medical coverage. In the meantime, the healthcare crisis continues. Fewer people, even those with health insurance, can afford the healthcare they need because of out-of-pocket cost. And the Obamacare continues that trend by pushing skimping health plans with low coverage and restricted networks. And this is what happens in a market-based system of healthcare. People get only the amount of healthcare they can afford rather than what they need. Let me say it again. You're going to get only the amount of care that you can afford. You're not going to get the care you need. And this takes our failed market-based system to a whole new level by forcing the uninsured to purchase private health policies and using the government to sell and subsidize them. That's the private-public partnership. And sadly, most Americans are being manipulated into supporting Obamacare and do not even know they're being bamboozled. That is how scams work. Even after the con is completed, victims don't know they've been manipulated and ripped off. They may even feel good about being scammed, thinking they made a deal when they really had their work bank accounts picked. But it is the insurance companies that are the realizing windfall profits from Obamacare. They are the con artist, and they have perfected this system. The mass media is focused on the technical problems. Well, forget the technical problems. With getting the insurance exchanges up and running, that's irrelevant. These problems result from the complexity of the law and outsourcing of services to corporations that are often more costly and less effective than government. In comparison, in 1965, when Medicare started, everyone 65 and over was enrolled within 6 months using index cards. If all U.S. residents were in one plan, Medicare for All, rather than the Obamacare tiered system that institutionalized the class divides in the United States, not only would the health system be fairer and improve health outcomes, but it would be less bureaucratic, less costly, easier to implement. The Medicare for All approach considers health care to be a public good, something that all people need, like schools, roads, and fire departments. Now, rather than being distracted by the problems of the exchanges and the more pressing issues of whether we want to continue using a market-based approach to healthcare or whether we want to join the other industrialized nations in treating healthcare as a public good, this conversation is difficult to have in the current environment of falsehoods and exaggerations, misleading statements, and the Chris Matthews and the other people who, well, they just can't get enough of their corporate infusion. Oh, then again, he works for MSNBC. Should I say more? Of course, Republicans attack Obamacare purely for partisan reasons, and they are often blatantly dishonest in their criticisms. Their foundational claims, calling Obamacare socialized medicine, is the opposite of reality. Have you seen the clowns on Fox and listened to them and Rush Limbaugh calling Obama the ultimate socialist? Okay, let's say that for once in his life, once, maybe, I'll be optimistic, Rush Limbaugh actually told the truth about something. Let's just see. So this is the biggest socialist who wants to turn the country to socialism and wants to have the public get the equalize all the money between the rich and the poor. That's what we're told. Let's just go through it. The largest bundle of some money, Wall Street. The largest one on Wall Street, Goldman Sachs. Okay. Did the homeowners get bailed out? No. Wall Street got $16.3 trillion. Well, that's not socialized then, is it? Then the largest military-industrial complex in the world, $1.5 trillion a year to cover all of our wars and military expenditures, and that goes to private contractors, all of whom are affiliated with Democrat and Republican lobbyists and legislators and foundations and think tanks. Well, that's, gee whiz, that's two in a row. Rush was right. Socialism, but for the rich, not for the poor, Rush. And for military-industrial complexes, for the rich, but not for the poor. And what about the 900,000 homeless vets, Rush? Do you realize they don't have food? And now they're getting their meager food stamps downsized. Rush, if you dieted for a week, we could feed all 900,000 vets. I don't think that'll happen. If you could eat nothing else, you'd eat golf balls. I forgot you're down in Florida. So let's look at Big Pharma. Big Pharma wrote the Medicare bill, and they did it without input from any of us who actually know something about health care. And yet, they will make $1 trillion by being able to charge the highest possible markups, as high as 500,000% over their 30-day generic cost. So when the public needs an inexpensive drug that may work, it can't get it. It has to pay the highest. So once again, it's socializing profits for Big Pharma. And then the energy cartels, the nuclear industry, the big oil, gas hydrofracking, coal, they got over half a trillion dollars, $500 billion in subsidies and tax allowances last year. Well, once again, that's socializing for big corporate interests, not for the average person. And Big Agra, they also got socialized. So we have socialism in America, and that's all in the money side for major industries. Where if we lose, we make a mistake in business, in our lives, can't balance our bank account, can't pay our bills, we're foreclosed on. They're too big to fail. They're too big to jail. They launder money for drug warlords, and they $800 billion, and they don't go to jail. They pay a fine. They insider trade on Wall Street, but nobody goes to jail. They pay a fine and are still left with 85 to 90% of their profits. They kill people with their drugs that are toxic, like Vioxx. 60,000 Americans, no one's found guilty. They pay a fine. Their profits go up. You and I, we make a mistake. We're branded for life with that mistake. Something wrong here? Yes. And these are the very people, and these are the very Clinton, Obama, well, all the corporate Democrats, they're all sociopaths, in my opinion. All of them. I make no exception. Anyone who covets power, anyone who's willing to use the power that they have and trust to manipulate people is a sociopath. And that's the right and the left. Well, we already knew the right were sociopaths, but how in the world people on the left can feel good about somehow Obamacare? You've been conned, you've been lied to, you've been manipulated. Nothing about this is good. And yet, it's still supported. Obamacare is an insurance scam. They're the ones who wrote the bill. All of it. Every sentence of it. They're the ones who make profits, no matter what. Either the government subsidizes them on their downside, or you have to on the upside. The scam is a fraudulent operation designed to make money. That's all it is. A scam unfolds every time with a team of swindlers seeking to rob the victim without the victim even knowing they're being scammed. It was Edward Smith in Confessions of a Confidence Man who said, "The six definite steps or stages of growth in every finely balanced and well-conceived confidence game," and just go through them. Develop the foundation, meaning the foundation of a scam is the preparation done ahead of time to set up the scheme. So make it look like you've got something good going by bringing experts on, and these experts won't identify the fact that they're working for think tanks. All of those think tanks, by the way, are funded by special people behind the scene, like the Koch brothers or George Soros. Boy, what a strange group those people are. Thank God they're old. Not quite yet senile. Wouldn't it be great if they got so senile they started giving their money away? Then you have the approach. It's like a sting operation. Get the vehicle for the con. Make it so tech-savvy that the average person can understand it. Then have someone explain why it's all in our best interest. Then the build-up. Get the media behind you. That's easy. All the Democrats have to do is make a call to the New York Times, and they start salivating like a Pavlovian dog. All of them. No exceptions at the Times. What an embarrassment that paper has become. Shame on them. But there is no shame at the Times. After all, they're part of the establishment. Then we have the convincer. Well, Obama's the convincer, but he convinced us about so many things, right? He convinced us about universal health care. He convinced us. But then he turned his back on that. He convinced about closing down Guantanamo, turned his back on that. Convinced about our prison private system on drugs, war on drugs. Think of all the things he convinced us so we would convince ourselves he was right to vote for. And then the hurrah, where everybody high fives. We did it. Yeah, you screwed the American public. And that's the con. The final product is you're going to have one miserable, messed up insurance system. And you're going to have more people die and become sick because of it and injured. And no one will take responsibility. And then they'll try to tweet it here and tweet it there. No, this thing needs to be stopped and we need universal care, period. I'm Gary Knoll. One more thing here. This is the latest. This is just part of the scam in healthcare. The safety and efficacy of vaccines. I'll be presenting this week an original in-depth investigative report on the flu vaccine for you. This is from a Japanese study from Kobe University. Quote, this is the conclusions of the study. Systemic autoimmunity appears to be the inevitable consequence of overstimulating the host immune system by repeated immunization with antigen to the level that surpass system's self-organized critality. End quote. What does this mean in lay language? The more vaccines you give a body, the more the immune system becomes hypersensitized until your immune system becomes an autoimmune reaction and works against itself. And what are some of the most common diseases we see today? Autoimmune diseases in children. Now, this is a major study. Not a word of it in the United States. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who still believe that the FBI has your interests at stake, quote, from The Guardian, the FBI monitored anti-war website for 6 years. Hold on, aren't we allowed to hold our points of view? Well, we're supposed to, but not in a fascistic state. Back in a moment with your calls. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Just want to mention that this coming Sunday on Long Island in Huntington at noon at the Cinema Arts Center, I'll be premiering my only show, The Silent Epidemic, my brand new, not yet released documentary, The Silent Epidemic. You won't want to miss it. I'll be there. We'll have a lecture afterwards. I'm going to give 2 copies of the film as a gift to everyone who comes. You just pay whatever the cinema has as their normal price. Call for tickets, 631-423-7610, 631-423-7610. Let's say hello to Sandy from Long Island. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for taking my call. I have just a quick question.
Yeah.
My wife purchased a Vitamix for me, and as a weight loss meal replacement, I'm making a water, spinach, cucumber, celery, parsley, apple, ginger, and the juice of one lime and ice, and making a meal replacement drink for dinner or sometimes for breakfast. I'm just wondering, is that almost as good as the actual juicing?
No. In fact, you have to be careful trying to get all your vegetables by blending them, because you can get too much fiber and then the fiber goes too quickly through the intestine, and there's a particular part of the intestine called the duodenum where a lot of your nutrients are absorbed, and it could go so quick that you wouldn't end up getting full absorption. So having some items blended is fine, but I wouldn't be doing it all the time. And also, now there's another juicer out there that cost half as much as a Vitamix, but has all the same qualities, even better. Just look for it. Go into the stores and ask for one that has the same size motor and lifetime guarantee and everything else, but is a whole lot less expensive. I knew someone would ultimately come around and give us a better juicer for less money. They have done that now.
Thank you. Is the Breville one of the better ones?
Yes, it is. It's one of the better ones, yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. By the way, I mentioned I was going to give a few things for men to help them with prostate cancer and prostate cancer prevention. Turmeric, broccoli, green tea, and pomegranate. Those are four foods that you should have, or spices, each day in your diet. That will help you. Let's say hello to Patrick from Brooklyn. Hi, Patrick.
Seems that when I get ready for diet, and as soon as I get in bed and shut the light, my eyes open up like I just got up out of full night's sleep, but I didn't. And I twist and turn all night long. I just can't seem to get into that sleep mode. It's been going on for about a month now.
Right.
I'm taking the magnesium citrate powder and potassium citrate and hops, valerian. I don't know. Nothing seems to help.
All right. Don't take hops. Are you eating any food?
Yes, I'm eating regular food like organic rice.
No, I'm talking about within 3 hours of going to sleep.
No, I eat at, say, 6 o'clock, and I go to bed at 8.
That's not enough time. You'll still have your dinner in your stomach when you go to bed. That's one of the problems.
Yes.
So you've got to give yourself about 4 hours between when you're going to go to bed and when you eat. Otherwise, you're going to have some problems falling asleep. And try theanine. Thea, T-H-E-A, T-H-E, anine, A-N-I-N-E, 200 milligrams. That's one of the better ways of helping to get a good night's sleep. And take that with a little bit of chamomile tea. All the best to you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Let's say hello to, and I'm going to open up. We just saw all the phone. I had 50 calls here. Sorry, the computer just dropped everything out. Please call back if you were holding or if you didn't get through. Now's the time, 888-874-4888. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I just got an interesting email while I'm sitting here listening to you from a woman who listens to you, and she said, here's a perfect example of why people get confused. Over at the Chopra Center, their board-certified preventive medicine specialist physician has an article up there, Why I Take the Flu Vaccine. And in it, she says, having looked at the evidence for vaccine safety and efficacy, I believe in the science behind it. And there's a whole four-page article on why it's important to have the flu vaccine. And, you know, people are saying this is why we're confused, because you have people like Deepak, who, in my opinion, my professional opinion, sold out a long time ago, are telling people one thing, and then you come out with the drugging of our children, vaccine nation, and so on, that actually has the science, the actual science about the dangers of vaccines. I thought that was interesting.
Would you do this? I don't have the article. Mm-hmm. I am bringing out my article tomorrow. I intend to read it on the show, plus have it up on our website, and on vaccines, in which flu vaccines specifically. I've written 22 articles in the last 2.5 years on the dangers, lack of science and efficacy behind vaccines. And I won't challenge someone until I see what they're calling their foundational proof. What are they using? Now, if they haven't done their homework, if they're just taking what's been given to them by the vaccine industry, then that's just not acceptable. In which case, I will then use that in my own article as an example of this, and I have nothing to say about Deepak. So.
Okay. I also have something else here. Very nice to get letters like this. This is from Bruce, who was at your recent retreat. And he said, I wanted to update you on my progress since the retreat this past July. I'm doing quite well. First, I lost 20 pounds, and I weigh close to my ideal weight at 145. In addition, my body fat went down from 20.5 to 13.7. This is a change for the better. My diet has improved dramatically, and I exercise more intensively. I am giving up a secure job and making a life change to move to a sustainable community. We'll see how that develops. I recently had a complete blood chemistry done by the holistic doctor. I've been seeing this person for the last 20 years. He is very impressed with my progress, and practically all my markers are within the normal range or better. Those that are still issues, we'll be working on. In summary, the retreat was like a gift that keeps on giving. I know I am in command of my destiny, and I'm willing to change to achieve a better life. In addition, I'm very interested in both community and sustainability, and will be learning a lot in both areas as part of my future direction. Thank you, Gary and his team, for being a catalyst for change. All the best.
That's nice. It's always nice when you hear that people have been inspired enough to continue doing it when they go home. And he is right. The future is people working together. The last 40 years have shown us the downside of the me generation and the arrogance of people who just were out for themselves. I believe there's a whole new movement across the world of people working together for a common good. And I see it. So that's good.
Yeah.
And I'll take some more calls. Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
And this is from the environmental segment. The thawing of the permafrost, from this is from Tara Daly, quote, the high cliffs of eastern Siberia, which mainly consist of permafrost, continue to erode at an ever-quickening pace. This is the conclusion which scientists of the Alfred Wegener Institute and for Polar Marine Research have reached after their evaluation of data and aerial photographs of the coastal regions for the last 40 years. According to the researchers, the reasons for this increasing erosion are rising summer temperatures in the Russian permafrost, as well as the retreat of the Arctic sea ice. Now, what does this mean? Why should you care? That's, you know, thousands of miles away. Because an enormous amount of carbon is held into the permafrost that has been frozen solid for thousands of years. And now that it's warming and the sun is getting in, this is percolating up. As this percolates up, this could virtually double the amount of carbon released, because it's a vast amount. And at a time when we're cutting down the rainforest, which are carbon sinks, any kind of plant, tree, grass, bushes, hold carbon in. But when you cut those down, especially for urban development, as they were doing in China. China would go into an area, for example, that had 8, 10, 12 villages and tear down all the villages and put up a city. And they would do an exchange. The people would get to live in an apartment approximately equal the size of their interior of their house. So if they lived in a 500-square-foot house, they would get a 500-square-foot apartment. And that was how they got people off the land. But you're dealing with 750 million people who live in rural China. And these people, fairly well in smaller areas, had been sustainable. They'd used natural techniques over a long period of time. And in some areas, they had plenty of water, and they didn't have polluted water. But now, all they have is one giant congested mess. And so now the land that they had used is no longer in use. So it's warming. And everywhere we look, timber's being felled. So the timber that would, a tree that would hold the carbon in the ground, is no longer holding it in the ground. And so you're getting, the Arctic is melting. You had in one small area 10,000 bubbles bubbling up. And that is bad. So now you got one of the largest land areas in the world. I'll tell you how big it is. You could stick the United States, the entire continental United States, inside this area. That's how big it is. And that's melting. That's bad, and it's doing it very quickly. That's bad. So we're going to be getting a lot hotter, a lot sooner, it's tipping, and we're not going to be able to do anything about that, and then we're just going to have to adapt to the consequences. This is from Naomi Wolf from Project Syndicate called Justice for Tomatoes, and I'll take another call after that. The fast food hamburger you ate may have cost you next to nothing, but what did the tomato slice on that burger cost the worker who got it there? Almost anywhere in the world, including in the United States, the cost can be shockingly high. Appalling wages are just the start. In Florida, tomato pickers earn an average of just 50 cents for every 32-pound bucket. A worker who picks all day, back-breaking labor that starts before dawn, is lucky to earn $10,500 a year, placing him way below the poverty line. Then there are the alarming human rights violations. In Mexico, authorities recently freed almost 300 people, including 39 teenagers who are being held in slave-like conditions at a camp where tomatoes are sorted and packed for export. U.S. federal authorities have called Florida's tomato fields, quote, ground zero for modern-day slavery. The abuses of farm workers by agribusiness interests there have been serious and systematic. Enter the campaign for fair food, a fight for better wages and conditions that Florida tomato pickers and their allies have fought and largely won. Their struggle not only underscores the obstacles confronting workers' organizations in an era of outsourcing and global supply chains, but also might serve as a model for workers in other industries. For many years, the tomato industry in Florida depended upon poor white and African-American laborers. Today, it relies mainly on low-wage farm workers from Haiti, Mexico, and Guatemala, and other Central American countries, a change that owes much to two decades of trade liberalization. Policies like NAFTA allowed multinational companies to sell cheap produce in Mexico and other countries, undercutting local farmers and driving millions of people off their land in search of employment. Many migrated to the United States where, as disempowered laborers, they went to work for the same or similar multinationals. But globalization is now affecting the tactics that farm workers have chosen. As Jake Ratner, a young activist who works for Just Harvest USA, points out, global corporations are often insulated from traditional tactics like boycotts. So farm workers and their allies have chosen a novel brand-busting approach that targets companies' public image and has gotten the attention of decision-makers at the top of the global food hierarchy. The campaign for fair food is to persuade every major tomato purchaser to sign on to Fair Food Program, which for a small premium, a penny a pound, changes the lives of workers and their families substantially. Oh, that's good. Still doesn't make him, in my opinion, they're still being way underpaid. But it's a start. How about doing this? Also, how about insisting upon buying organic and sustainable produce and letting people know that the tomato that they're buying has been exploiting farm laborers? I think we need to be in front of supermarkets like Fairway and others handing out brochures about the subhuman conditions that farm workers are toiling under in order to bring produce of some type. By the way, not everything in Fairway would qualify for that. They also have an organic section. But where it does, it should be challenged in any store. We need more activism on this issue. We're coming up to the end of this program. I want to thank everyone for calling in and for sharing your time with me. And I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.